Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hey, James, we have a surprise guest in Are We Lucky? J.B. Porch, who runs the Senate Democratic Campaign Committee for Chuck Schumer, knows more about Senate races than anyone in the country. JB, tough map for Democrats this year. You've got a number of incumbents who have great challenges. So let me just ask you, what's your overview right now? You're probably going to lose West Virginia. Can you win all the others and hold the Senate?
As long as we keep talking about Senate races, we know the races will always be competitive. You know, you can make the argument there are more Republican states than Democrats. And the truth of Democrats in the Senate is we've been overperforming for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we just need to keep doing that. So our challenge, our direction here this cycle, is we're needing to keep all those blue states blue. Yes, West Virginia is particularly hard. But if we can win the table and we're counting at the top of the ticket with the vice president as our nominee, we need all those things to happen. It was arguably that hard 2 years ago when everybody else told us that we were going to lose then. We have to do in 24 what we did in 22.
And what difference does Harris instead of Biden make?
I think what we see in the data so far is that that despite the fact that nearly every Senate candidate had a comfortable lead before this happened, what's happened with the vice president as her nominee is she's obviously solidified base voters. It's more likely we're going to see a better turnout as a result of her on the ticket. That's a very big deal. And I think the other thing she obviously did is expand the map so that we're more vital at the presidential level in places like Nevada and Arizona, which are pretty important to us. And man, having her in those competitive in those states, that's a big deal too.
One more and then turn it over to James. Montana. Montana's tough, isn't it?
Montana will be challenging because that's the more Republican of the states.
You got a great candidate in a real red state.
And John Tester is, when you ask voters in Montana the question between him and his opponent, Mr. Sheehy, when you ask the question, who holds Montana values, John Tester wins that question by 17 points. He's seen as a rock bed of values in that state. They know he comes back every weekend and he's still farming his land and that he's reliable. And he knows that he's going to put Montana first. That's what's likely to get us to a win, even in a really challenging state where Trump is likely to win by a comfortable margin.
James.
So Jimmy, Republican strategy has been, and appears still is in the Senate, is to get self-funders. They seem to be less concerned with political experience than somebody that they're saying it's Ohio, it's Wisconsin, it's Montana. You know, we don't do that much, do we?
No, we don't. And I look that Mitch McConnell's been doing this for a number of years. And what it used to get Mitch McConnell 10 years ago, 12 years ago, is when he was recruiting self-funders, rich candidates that would carry it, he believed at the time that he was recruiting center-right, business-minded, moderate candidates that were going to be able to hold their own against good Democratic candidates. 10, 12 years later, you go find these candidates, and you're finding candidates that are well to the right, more extreme, and I would argue that in every Senate race, if you're looking for the more moderate candidate running, you need to look to the Democrat, because it doesn't matter whether they have money or not. They followed Trump right off the cliff, and those candidates are the ones that are more extreme.
So we are obsessed with the holes because we have so many difficult holes, but it strikes me that we're in, I don't know, in the hunt, spitting distance, Florida, Texas, and believe it or not, Nebraska. Do you see hope there? Do you see a path, or how are these races kind of shaping up in your mind?
I do, and we're eagerly following all of these. And what I'd say about Texas is that I think Colin Allred's running a really great race. When I look at the Texas data, what I see is that he still has some room to grow in terms of name recognition.
Right.
State's that big, he's still got some room to go. I think that the vice president helps us in Texas because we've needed to improve our vote with Hispanic, with young people, with African Americans in that state. And she helps with that argument too. I think what you're going to see is we're going to get to a competitive situation, not unlike Beto versus Cruz was. We fell short by 2.6. The question about Texas is what's the margin and what does it take to get over the top?
Right.
We're still intrigued by Florida, too, where you have abortion on the ballot and we have a good candidate there. Nebraska, he's an independent. I'm watching this one from the same seat you are.
And the Democrat pulled out, so we don't have a. We're not splitting the vote here.
There is only an independent and the Republican candidate. In fact, there are two Republican senators that are running for re-election. This is against Deb Fischer.
I remember. You and I talk all the time. Deb Fischer's never really been that popular as you would expect a Republican in Nebraska.
No, even after she was elected. And not only is she not popular, the negatives start with her pretty high. There seems to be a level of dissatisfaction.
Right.
I think that the trouble there is that they have enough concern that an independent name, even before they get to know Mr. Osborne, who seems from afar to be a really good candidate. And then one more thing about Nebraska, abortion's on the ballot there too. And don't forget that there's a electoral vote to be had in Omaha as well.
Yeah, we got to win it. So only before I turn it back to, I'll just put one thing in Florida. You mentioned that there's an abortion referendum and there's also a weed referendum. And they spend money. Yeah. Believe me, they're going to make a lot of potential money to be made in Florida.
More activity in Nebraska than we're used to.
Right, and the other thing is insurance. You can't imagine what an issue it is down there. And you know, their housing market now is losing 40% of their value. But anyway, okay, Al.
That's part of it too.
I mean, talking about money, let's go to Pennsylvania because Bobby Casey's been a fixture in that state for so long, popular, but he's running against a guy who's going to spend zillions. How do you assess it right now, Jay?
Well, the money's challenging on two fronts. His opponent, McCormick, is out of a hedge fund on Wall Street and worth zillions.
Yeah.
But on top of it, McCormick's lined up a whole bunch of Wall Street funders that are backing a super PAC on top of it. So there's no lack of money on the Republican side right now. they're behind. They've been behind the whole time. Casey's run a really smart race. He's frustrating them because he just wants to talk about, he's willing to take on the inflation thing and say, look, you know, call it greedflation, call it shrinkflation, but we ought to be holding companies accountable who have been doing price gouging. That's frustrating to the Republican. McCormick's well to the right on abortion. That's not helping him either. And a lot of conversation about China. McCormick supported a business, a Chinese business that was a producer of fentanyl, and he built his hedge fund on the idea that they could make money off Chinese businesses and those who supported the Chinese government and the Chinese military. That doesn't seem to be even the current Republican Party, and it is a message to not just Pennsylvania workers, but American workers about where his priorities are.
Yeah, Ohio, every 6 years, Republicans say they're going to take out Sherrod Brown.
Yeah.
And every 6 years, Sherrod Brown proves to be one of the toughest fighters you could see. And the other guy seems to have some of the same vulnerabilities that Sherrod's previous candidates had. Ohio is certainly red. I suppose Vance doesn't hurt the Republicans, probably helps them a little maybe. But, you know, Sherrod Brown is one of the great survivors. JB, can he survive this time?
Bernie Moreno, his Sherrod Brown's opponent, was handpicked by J.D. Vance with the idea that Donald Trump was going to be favorable to him. Moreno ran a shaky primary, struggled with fundraising, and got through the primary in large part because Trump ended up endorsing him at the last minute. He's an example of what I was talking about before, a car salesman who's made a lot of money, but he's well to the right. He's probably the most extreme candidate on abortion that we're running against.
And it's a state that voted overwhelmingly for abortion rights.
58% on that ballot initiative just a year ago. So with all of that, and yes, Sherrod is still notable for fighting for workers in that state. And that's going to carry him through. I think he's ahead, and I think we're going to get there.
Final one before turning it back to James. For months, I've been hearing that Nevada was a real trouble spot, that Jackie Rosen was in trouble behind it. It doesn't look that way today, does it?
No, and I would argue that she's pretty much ahead the whole time. Her candidate has struggled with getting known in the state and being functional, raising money. She has shown voters that she's pretty well connected, and she's grounded and been smart about talking about cutting and capping insulin in order to deal with inflation. And so far, so good. We're in a comfortable place, but that's a challenging state. We won the last Senate race only by less than a point. We know this one will get closer, but Jackie Rosen's going to win this one.
James.
So, JB, tell me exactly, how long have you been running the Senate Majority Pack?
I have been running it since 2017. I've been connected with it for a long time when Harry Reid was there, but since when Chuck Schumer overtook it, I've been running it since then.
So, how long have you been in national politics?
I ran the DSEC for Chuck Schumer in 2005. So
right.
At least have played that leadership role since.
So we're coming up on 20 years.
Yes, sir.
If I tell our listeners this, you listen to what, to my opinion and most people's opinion, not just mine, one of the most knowledgeable political, I don't know, operatives, I don't know what the correct name is, in the entire country. And I don't say that because he's a friend of mine. I wouldn't say anything bad about him, but when I put that accolade on somebody, I'm not making it up. So before I leave, and you're very familiar with both states, you don't have a Senate candidate, but if you had to bet, even money, does Harris get a higher percent in North Carolina or a higher percent in Georgia? And you can't middle it. You just got to utter out one word or two words.
Oh, I think they'll tie. How about that?
Huh?
I think they'll tie. I think that
what
I think the vice president can win both. I think they can win both. You know, you look at Metro Atlanta, you look at the fact not only that Biden won it, but Warnock and Ossoff too, and yet you ask yourself about Metro Atlanta, isn't she built for Georgia in many respects? And they're running a terrible gubernatorial candidate.
Right. It's not only
the gubernatorial, it's the whole ticket.
No.
The education secretary could be loonier than if it's possible.
And we've been competitive in North Carolina with the governor and in Senate races for a long time. So I expect that she can win both of those states.
Well, 20 years of experience, you can still weasel out of a question. We can't thank you enough, JB, and I hope that our listeners
Thanks
appreciate the wisdom and the experience and the depth of knowledge
you've brought. It's an honor to see
you. You couldn't learn more than from JB Porsche about the Senate. And even though he weaseled out of Georgia and North Carolina, I think he was
on the
mark.
I didn't weasel too much. I think we're going to win.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
All right, man. Thank you so much. I'll tell you, man, it was great.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.